Very, very cool. You may have a seat. Go ahead and take your Bibles. So let me tell you what's coming up. We were planning on starting a new series today, but we postponed it due to the weather and not knowing what the weather was going to be like, not knowing who would miss today. We certainly don't want to start a new series and have so many people that are absent. So let me just whet your little appetite for next week. Throughout the year, we do about 3 to 4 series every semester, and we do a book study during the summer. That's what we've done year after year. And so there are certain series that capture us more so than others. Honestly, there are certain series that I'm more excited about than others. I normally go about whatever themes, whatever theological truths we're going to tackle or wrestle with. I normally go about it like whatever I get excited about, whatever touches me, inspires me, convicts me. I think, well, that's going to do the same thing for my friends. And so that's kind of the barometer. And then I run it by our staff, run it by our worship team. Hey, guys, what do you think about this? Can I just tell you what we're going to do next Sunday for the next 4 weeks? Sometimes I wonder, is this going to appeal to everybody? Is this going to reach everybody? And sometimes it might be more demographic heavy towards children or parents with children, or maybe to a certain other demographic. Let me just say, for this particular sermon series upcoming, no matter who you are, no matter what age you find yourself, this will be relevant to you. A lot of people stay away from church because they think, well, there's just not very much there to offer me. Can I just tell you, we're going to deal with something that you struggle with beyond more than you are comfortable admitting. And it goes below the surface oftentimes. It's really unseen, it's unchecked, and yet it so much determines why you do what you do and why I do what I do. And so for these next 4 weeks, I'm just telling you, it's going to be kind of hard-hitting into the heart. And you say, well, Matt, you're kind of going to scare some people away. They may not want to come for this. You'll be glad that you did, because on the other side of it, I believe you're going to find some freedom, and you're going to find where true worth comes from. Where you have been tempted maybe to look to your right or to look to your left to find your worth in comparison to somebody else, you're going to find how that is futile, how you never win doing that, how your real worth comes from a much better source and a much greater source. And so I won't tell you any more than that. Just want to say you do not want to miss next Sunday and for the next 4 weeks to come. And it would be an incredible time to invite a friend, because I promise you, everybody will say, because of this, you know what? I relate to that to some degree or another. And to hear what God's word has to say on the other side of it, that's what our hearts long for. So with all that being said, today we're going to tackle this subject that oftentimes befuddles so many of us as well. In Matthew chapter 6, if you take your Bibles, I invite you there to turn to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to begin in verse 5. Matthew chapter 6. Beginning verse 5. So the first sermon that you heard this year was a video of me preaching before I went into my surgery on Bible study and getting into the scriptures. And hopefully you are reading the scriptures. Some of you, that was already a habit. Some of you, you told me because of that, you texted me and said, I have started this and I have determined I'm going to put some verses to memory. And so you were challenged by that, and you took me up on the challenge, and God bless you for that. And so that's a discipline. That's one of the disciplines in the Christian life, is to read your Bible, is to find out, hey, what does my Father have to say to my life, or to different arenas and areas that my life certainly is touched by. And so God has spoken, his word is true, and we are better for it when we avail ourselves to growth that we find from reading it. Today we're going to talk about another discipline that certainly, if this is a struggle to you, maybe after today, you might find a little ease in that tension. But hopefully you might be inspired today to maybe pick up something that you've left and that you've dropped, or maybe relegated that I'm not really good at it, so therefore I'm not really going to try very hard. And that is the subject of prayer. Now, for you here today, you might say, well, man, I go to church and I pray. When you say bow your heads, I pray. And that's good. And you ought to. Some people here today, you might think, you know what, Matt? I don't ever pray. I just don't. And I got some ideas why you don't, because I've been where you are. And sometimes I find myself back there, and I know on a particular day it's why I don't. And so today I'd like just to take the cover off of it. I'd like just to take the mystery away, and let's just tackle something that honestly trips a lot of us up. Prayer. You say, well, I don't know if it trips a lot of people up. Really? Okay. Well, the next time you're with your buddy, why don't you, when you're about to eat your meal, why don't you just turn to your buddy and say, hey, listen, before we eat this, why don't you pray for us? And watch how your buddy responds. Now, please don't do that because you might lose a buddy, okay? You want to watch people get uncomfortable, ask them to pray in public. You're told, or, you know, at least I was growing up, one of people's worst fears is talking in public. Let me tell you, even a greater fear is praying in public. Now, there are people, and I hope Steve doesn't mind me saying this, but even Steve was saying when he first got here, there was a particular time where he was in the fellowship hall, and he wasn't prepared, he wasn't ready, and somebody had called upon him to pray. And he said, man, I just started sweating profusely. I mean, the right guard took a left turn. And, you know, I mean, it might have been, you know, a potential lemonade-making moment. And so even somebody like Steve Minow, who's up here, who's used to being in front of people, the idea of not being prepared, being asked to pray on the spot, it just ignited this fear in him. And I just wonder, what would that do to you? Would you have like a panic attack? Would you like be like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do that? And that goes to a greater revelation. Why is something that when you read the scriptures that should come across so naturally, why is it so strangely awkward? Why is it so hard just to talk to God? Why is prayer such a challenge? Depending upon your background, depending upon where you came from, you just may not have been around people who are comfortable praying, so therefore, you are not comfortable praying. Some people don't pray because they wonder, God, would you even listen to something coming from somebody like me? And let's just be truthful with you. That's some of your attitudes. That you think that God's there and here you are, and you're just not the kind of person that should warrant the attention of most people, much less of God, so therefore you just don't spend a whole lot of time ever even trying. So you've kind of like thrown up your hands and hope other people are praying for you that God might listen to, but for you personally, you just don't really do it. And that's sad. And I won't deal with that today. Others of you, you might have this impression that I don't know if prayer really even works, to be truthful with you. Now again, you're in church, so you would never say that out loud, but like if we were at a, you know, in a vulnerable kind of conversation, maybe end of life kind of conversation, and like where you didn't have to worry about anything else, and you just say, you know, Matt, I haven't done a whole lot of praying in my life, and here's why. You might have this vulnerable moment where you'd be willing to confess, I just don't even know if it really even works. And listen, if you don't know if it really works, well then, of course, you're probably not going to do a whole lot of praying. And to be asked to do so would be awkward. To be asked to do so would be something so far out of the norm because you just don't even think that it's going to make any difference. There's a lot of reasons why people struggle with praying. So we need help. And I'm grateful that the scriptures, that God has spoken and has given us some help. Let me tell you my journey real quick. And I know for many of you, you've heard this, but yet there's so many new people at our church. Some of the stories that you've heard many, many times, those who've been here for a while, you need to know there are a lot of people, they're hearing this for the very first time. So let me just tell you, after I became a Christian, I was invited my junior year of high school, I was invited to be a part of a Bible study that went on for 26 weeks. And it was a pretty intensive Bible study, and it was for adults, really. And yet, for whatever reason, they asked me. I was the token, you know, youth, and they asked me, would you come and be a part of our Bible study? And I just considered it such a great honor. And I said, sure, I'd love to do that. And there were certain requirements that you had to adhere to, and one of those was that you had to find a prayer partner. You had to find somebody that you were to pray with for 26 weeks as you went through this Bible study. And so I didn't know a lot of people at the church. I was brand new to big church, at least. And yet I heard about this one particular guy in our church who seemed to be like the man when it came to prayer. And his name was C.O. Smith. Now, again, many of you know C.O. Smith now because I've told you about him. But Mr. Smith was a dude that I don't know if he cracked 5 feet tall. He was a wee little man. Like Zacchaeus, really. Just a wee little man was he. And he probably weighed maybe 100 pounds. after Thanksgiving meal, sopping wet. I mean, just a tiny, tiny little dude. Mr. Smith, however, was known as just a prayer warrior. He was somebody that if you asked him to pray, I found out, he wouldn't never be the kind of guy who says, sure, I'll pray for you. He would say, oh, you'd like for me to pray with you? Well, sure. Why don't you come on over here? And he would sit you down at a pew, and whatever your need was, you just need to know. It's about 10 to 15 minutes of your life that would stop, and he would intercede on your behalf for your need. And honestly, it would kind of challenge you whether you really want prayer that bad or not, because it wouldn't be one of these like things like, hey, pray for me, and somebody says, sure, I'll pray for you. We live in such a culture now, and I don't mean Mr. Smith's in heaven. I don't even know how Mr. Smith would respond to the culture that we live in today, because our culture now, we ask everybody to pray for us on Facebook. Hey, need prayers. Hey, calling out all prayer warriors. Hey, please pray for this. And people, you know, they give the little emojis, you know, we're praying, you know, people struggle to find even words to comment. Okay, five people have said praying, so I got to say something else. I'm talking to God on your behalf. Somebody says, okay, I'm gonna word it up a little bit differently, but we're all trying to say the same thing. Okay, I'll pray. Mr. Smith was not like an emoji type guy, okay? Mr. Smith, he literally would like go to battle for you in a spiritual warfare sense. And whatever was on your heart or in your life that you would ever ask somebody to pray for. Well, I didn't know that either. And so when I asked him, I went up to him. I said, hey, Mr. Smith, my name's Matt. You know, introduced myself to him. I said, listen, I'm going to be a part of this class. And part of our assignment is we got to find somebody to pray with us, a prayer partner. And I was wondering, would you care to be my prayer partner? My mind was, again, I'm just a junior. I'm 16 years old. My mind was like when the service would be over, everybody would, you know, mingle around before they went to lunch. And me and Mr. Smith, we'd go off into the corner over here or sit down at the pew over here. And we would just kind of like, you know, you pray for a couple minutes, I'll pray for a couple minutes and we'll call it a day. Mr. Smith, he didn't even think that way. He said, you like for me to be your prayer partner? I said, well, if you wouldn't mind. And I was thinking, well, you know, we can meet after church. I literally gave him that suggestion. We can meet like right after church is over, and before everybody leaves, we can just like pray together. He goes, well, I got another idea. He goes, how about you come to my house? And Miss Mary, she'll fix some tea, and we can pray at my house. Well, I was thinking, well, I wasn't looking like to add something like that to my schedule, but okay, I'll come to your house. So I remember it was a Monday night. I went to his house, and I'll never forget Mr. Smith, wee little man. He also lived in a wee little house, and his kitchen, it was old school now, right? His kitchen, and not if you live in an old school house, that's wonderful. That's great. It's a lot of character there. His kitchen was one of those kitchen floors that had the carpet, not shag, you know, but it was carpeted floor. Remember those? It was this one house was back in the 70s. And anyways, it was this orange kitchen carpet, I remember. And so we sit down, and Mr. Smith, he didn't talk very loud. And he had one bad eye. And so one eye would look at you, and another eye, you didn't know where that was going, all right? I mean, and because of that, he was kind of intimidating to me. I mean, he can put three people under conviction at one time. I mean, it just the way it all went out. I mean, just the guy walked with God. There just seemed to be something different about him. And so I'm sitting, again, I don't know Mr. Smith. I'm sitting there, and this is my first real conversation with him. And he talks really low, so I'm having to lean in. And after we finished drinking our tea that Miss Mary made for us, he said, okay. He said, you ready to pray? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I'll never forget. Again, if you don't know, you don't know. This is my first like exposure, like, hey, this is how some people pray. And this is how, like, some giant that's considered, like, in prayer, this is how he prays. So he gets up out of the table, and he takes his chair, and he pulls it away from the table to where it's facing on the outside. And then Mr. Smith gets down on his knees, and he puts his face in his hands. Now, it's already hard to hear Mr. Smith, but now his face is in his hands. And that's the posture that he takes. And I remember thinking to myself, that's something. And so guess what I do? I assume the posture. You know, if that's what Mr. Smith does, well, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to tell you, listen, wait for it. For one solid hour, Mr. Smith prays. And I remember even being down on my knees thinking, like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? You ever heard somebody pray so long you really didn't know what you're supposed to do? Now, don't all of you raise your hand at one time, okay? But, like, I didn't know, like, in the moment, like, what am I supposed to even be doing? But there was something strange I felt in my heart, like, you've got a rare treat here, Matt. Like, you're getting to listen to somebody who really knows God. You're getting the inside, behind the curtain. You're getting the intimate moment with somebody who's walked with Jesus for decades. And when he was talking to God in his prayer, there seemed to be such a connection and such a closeness. I remember leaving there that night thinking, I don't know what he's got, but I would like that. And so he said, would you like to come back? And I was like, I would. I'd like to come back. And so for 26 weeks, every Monday night, I go and I spend time at Mr. Smith's house. And we are always in the same chairs. We sit in the same spot. Miss Mary fixes us sweet tea. And we pray for no less than an hour every single time. So 26 weeks goes by, and after we're done, I'm overwhelmed. I've now made a buddy in Mr. Smith, and I feel like I have gotten the rarest of treats to see how somebody connects with God through prayer, and has given me a model of like, hey, this is how you can do it, Matt. And so I said to him, Mr. Smith, I'm really thankful, and our time's up, and thanks for being willing to do this. This has been great. And I remember, and again, I'll never forget, he goes, we don't have to stop. I'm like, really? Now again, we would talk, and then at least an hour of prayer. So it's a big commitment every Monday night. But there was something in me that, like, the Holy Spirit says, you better take him up on this. Because this is rare. And I remember I just felt that nudge of the Lord, and I said, okay, Mr. Smith, I'd love to continue meeting with you. And so my entire junior and senior year, my mom's here, she'll attest to it, every Monday night after FCA, I'd find myself going to Johns Island, South Carolina, and there on Howe Avenue in a small kitchen with a wee little man, I got the rarest of honors. I wonder, do you have anybody that you look up to in prayer? Do you have anybody that you know that seems to have, like, this connection with God? That, like, when they talk to God, there just seems to be something different about their prayers. Like, you know what? They really seem to know the one they're talking to. And there seems to be this, like, connection. Like, when they're talking, like, they really are believing that God is listening and God is going to answer. Do you have somebody like that in your life? Man, I'm just telling you, we do have some people like that at the First Baptist Church. I won't give you their names right now because, honestly, one, don't want to embarrass them, and two, I don't want you to overwhelm them. But why don't you just, like, start asking around? Because people like that, they are kind of known for being people who simply do have a real connection with God, who know how to pray. But the problem is, they're few and far between. And I'm just wondering, why is the CEO Smith, why is that something so rare? Because when you read the scriptures, it doesn't seem to be that should be the rarity. It seems to be that should be the norm. So what are we missing? What do the CEO Smiths of this life know that we don't know? And what does God have to say that maybe we've missed out on or maybe we've confused? And so, good. Great questions. Glad you're here. Let's jump into it. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. So the Bible says, and when you pray. Now, notice, it doesn't say, and if you pray. Let's just be honest here. This week, okay, we've had 7 days go by. Now, I don't want to see any raised hands. This is just between you and your Father. Outside of a dinner blessing, outside of a meal blessing, have you talked to God any? Have you had any type of conversation with God whatsoever? And maybe this has been a good week, okay? So maybe the week before, how about then? Did you have any type of communication with God? You see, I'm afraid that the culture that we live in, and even the Americanized church culture that we live in, we talk a whole lot more about prayers, we emoji a whole lot more about praying than we actually do praying. But the scripture says, when you pray, Jesus says, hey, when you do this, meaning this is the expectation. If you're a follower of mine, then of course you're going to be talking to me. If you're a child of mine and you consider me your father, then you're going to be talking to me. It ought to be a natural overflow of your life just to have a conversation with God. Why? Because Christ is your life. He's not a part of your life. He is your life. If you're a follower of his, he is your life, or he ought to be your life. And so a communication, a conversation with him, it's expected. Jesus says, when you pray. Even that is convicting to many of us, and should be. So when you pray, he says, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Now see, there are those kind of attitudes out there where they only pray when they're in public. And they do so because they want to give off this air like, hey, I've got something special with God. Hey, check me out. Hey, I want to be considered as such. And by the way, if you're that way, you definitely need to come back next week. Okay? Definitely don't want to miss the next 4 weeks if you struggle with that in any way. Jesus said there are people who are like that. He says they're hypocrites and they love to stand and they love to be seen by men. So that is not at all what prayer is supposed to be like. As a matter of fact, Mr. Smith, going back to him, Mr. Smith was really a bad public prayer. I mean, I grew up in a culture that, again, after I got saved, started going to big church, and they had this thing called the Deacon of the Week. Did anybody ever grow up in a church that had a Deacon of the Week? All right. Three of you. Okay, here, for the four of us. Here, remember, let's reminisce together. So the Deacon of the Week would come up, and he would pray before the offering. And so there was a rotation, of course, and Mr. Smith was one of our deacons, and he would get up, and honestly, he was the worst one. And the reason why he was bad at it is because nobody could ever hear him. And so finally, Mom, you remember this? And so finally, one of the other senior saints, who happened to be a deacon, was kind of chiding with him and thought it'd be funny to pick on Mr. Smith in front of everybody. And Mr. Smith, again, outside of the, you know, making three people fall under conviction at the same time, outside of that, he didn't have a whole lot of, like, intimidation, you know, mojo. Until this time. And so this guy, his name is Gene. Gene says, hey, CO, when you pray, nobody can hear you. You need to speak up. We can't hear you talk. Mr. Smith, he said, Gene, I ain't talking to you. That's kind of like one of those drop the mic moments. I'm like, way to go, CO Smith. So he was bad at public praying. I mean, you couldn't hear him, you know. But again, Mr. Smith, I ain't talking to you. There are some people, listen, there are some people you wonder, when they pray publicly, who are you talking to? You talking to God or you talking to us? Sometimes it's both. If you're new here to the First Baptist Church, after I end this sermon, I will do what we kind of call an invitation, and I'll go back in between talking to God and talking to you, talking to God and talking to you. And many of you have said, you know, when I first got here, it was so weird. I didn't know whether to look up, look down, look up, look down. You'll catch on. Stick around. So Jesus said, don't be like one of these hypocrites that just pray just to be seen by everybody else. He said, verse 6, though, but you, when you pray, he says, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in secret. Now, I get this. I love this. And he says, and your Father who sees in secret, he will what? He'll reward you. He'll reward you. So before I even get to that, because that's a great part, just go to the very, up to the top, though. Back to, he says, but you, don't be as they do who do it in public just to be seen by men. You go, and he says, to your inner room. You go to, another version says, you go to your closet. So again, I remember hearing this for the first time, 16 years old, new Christian, and I hear, you're supposed to have a closet. And so the biggest closet in our house was my mom and dad's walk-in closet. And again, I've told many of you this before, that became my prayer closet. That became my prayer room. That became my place. Like, if mom and dad saw my car in the driveway, they knew I was home, and they were looking for me and they couldn't find me, they knew where I would be. I was in that prayer closet. I would shut the door, turn off the lights, sit down, crisscross applesauce, back against the door, and it just became, listen, my holy of holies. It became just my special time and my special place I met with God. I took what God says literally here. You go in your inner room. I had an outside room too. My outside room, James Island is an island. There's now two bridges. Before there was just one. And growing up, this one bridge, Wapu Cut Bridge, is a drawbridge, opened up. And at the base of it, there were some picnic tables out there. And I would go to the Wapu Creek Bridge. Mom, you remember this? And you used to get so worried about it. Remember that? You're like, Matt, somebody can just mug you out there. I mean, it's bad lighting. And, you know, she's always worried about me. And she goes, you know, I just don't feel comfortable with you out there. But, I mean, night after night, I would go out to the Wapu Cut Bridge. And I would sit underneath there. And that was just like my time. The tides would be going in or out. The bridge would be going up. The sun would be setting. Stars would be out later on. And that just became, again, that was just my special place that I found between me and the Lord. And so I ask you, do you have a special place? You have like your place, like the people in your home know, well, that's mom's place. That's dad's place. That's so-and-so's place. Do you have that place? And I'll tell you this because not like that's going to be the end-all to beat-all to solve your problem of prayer inadequacy, but honestly, it might be the next step to help you take it from here to here, just to know that there's a spot that's just yours and the Lord's, and when you're there, you're doing business on a spiritual plane that nobody else will understand, but your Father, He'll see it. And this is the beauty. He sees what's done in secret, and the Bible says He will reward you. Wow. He'll reward me? Now, let me tell you, I'm kind of floored by that. Reward me for doing that? Yeah, He'll reward you. Or my version here says He'll repay you. Well, see, here's kind of just a son, a child speaking here. I'm kind of thinking the reward is just that he's listening, right? I mean, isn't that the reward enough that the God who has got 7.2 billion people on planet Earth, like, He would even care, like, what I would have to say? Like, He would, not like He's stopping what He's doing everywhere else, but like, He would actually lean in when I look up? Wow, that's the reward. But Jesus said there's even more than that. There's a repayment. There's a reward. When you choose to do that in secret, your Father who sees in secret, He'll reward you beyond just listening. Wow. There must be something pretty special in the heart of God then about talking to Him. I don't know about you, but I don't get really awestruck in front of people very much. I've got heroes and everything, but you know, I've just gotten to the point where, I don't know, as a pastor, I've heard so much of your junk, and I've heard so much of everybody else's junk, and I know my own junk, and I'm just thinking, man, we're all just messed up people. And so it doesn't matter, like, if you're a politician or, you know, a famous sports guy, gal, actress, actor, whatever, I really just don't get, you know, man worship very much, and so I don't struggle with it, so I don't get intimidated, except one time, and that's when I got a chance to meet President Bush, the younger, and so my friend Doug, he invites me to Kansas City, Missouri, and there's a fundraiser. It's February of 2008, and he says, Matt, would you like to go meet the president? And I'm thinking, would I? And he says, well, if you'd like to, you know, got to get clearance for you and everything, but I think it might be able to work out. So it works out, and I go to this fundraiser, and this fundraiser is to raise money for this congressman in Kansas City, but they were using the president to, you know, draw a crowd. So on this particular day in this house, largest house I've ever been to in my life, there was about 300 people there. 125 of them had a chance to get their picture taken with the president, okay? 125. I got to be one of the 125. Now you're thinking to yourself, well, how much money did you have to give to that? I didn't give a dime, which made it even more special. And Doug didn't even give a dime, which like is crazy. So I asked Doug, I said, well, like, how much does it cost? Like to get, how much are these people paying to get a picture taken with the president? Anybody, this is how crazy political money is. You might want to just off the subject. You want to take a guess how much it costs to get your picture taken with the president on that day in that house? Huh? $25,000. Jeffrey's got his picture taken with the president before. That's what that just said. You might need help. Go talk to Jeffrey. Anyway, so $25,000. So I'm in the back of the line, and because I'm hoping to have some personal time with the president, right? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And I notice where he's, you know, people would come up to him and they would shake his hand and they would say something and he would, you know, give a little nod, and then they would stand by him and they wouldn't do that. They, you know, but they take the picture and they walk on. There's a lot of people. There's 125 people in line, and everybody's waiting for him to get downstairs to do his thing, to speak, and that's what everybody came to listen to. And so I'm in the back of the line, and I kid you not, I'm not making this up. He keeps looking at me, and I'm thinking, he might want to talk to me, you know? And so like, this whole time, I'm starting to get excited. And I mean, he would like talk, and then, but he, you know, you ever seen somebody that keep like, they're looking at somebody, but they're really looking at you? He like looking at me, and now I'm thinking he might think I was weird or something, but like security, get him, you know? But I'm as I'm getting closer, I'm getting even more excited. Like, he wants to talk to me. And so again, I don't usually struggle with this, but I'm thinking, okay, Matt, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? And I start psyching myself out, and I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm going to say. I got one shot. It's George W. Bush. What am I going to say? And so I finally get up there, and I meant to say something along these lines. Sir, I just want to let you know it's an honor to meet you, and I just want you to know my church, we pray for you, and yada, yada. And this is what actually came out of my mouth. Sir, I'm glad to be here. Pray for me. I felt like such a doofus. I was like, ah! You don't get that back. No wonder he's looking at me weird. So I take my picture. I got the picture, by the way. But I'm just thinking, what made me get nervous? Because there's the president of the United States, regardless of what you think about him, whether you voted for him or not. There's only been a few of them, right? Here's the president of the United States, and in that moment, I felt small. I thought he was big, and I felt small. And I thought, what would I have to say that he would even care? So trying to work something up, I was as awkward with him as some of you are in praying. So can I say this? George W. Bush will not remember that moment. Or maybe he might. I don't know. Maybe he's never had anybody act that weird. I don't know. But he's probably not going to remember that moment. I'm just another face in the crowd. He could probably care less. Can I tell you, if you belong to God, your Father's the King of the world. He's not a president who will serve a term. He's the King of the world. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. And he knows your name. He knows everything about you. He made you. He created you. And the Bible says he did so for a purpose. He did so with a dream in mind. The Bible says when you sleep, he sings over you. The Bible says that he fashioned you while you were in your mother's womb. That means he knows the length of your fingers. He set that out. He knows the length of your days. He's marked that out. He knows what color eyes you were ever going to have before your parents ever knew. He knew it all. That God, that Father, listen, he wants to spend time with you. He actually cares what you have to say. You're not like a person in the line to him. You're not a face in the crowd to him. You're one of a kind to him. You're the only one of you that he has. And he actually cares for you and wants to hear what you have to say. That, ladies and gentlemen, I think is the reward. But Jesus said, even on top of that, the reward is beyond just that he'll listen, but that he will reward you for what you did in secret. He'll do so in the open. You want some motivation? I hope that serves as some motivation. He actually cares. You're not taking up his time. Verse 7, and when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition. You know why people use meaningless repetition, by the way? Because you don't know what else to say. You don't know what else to say, so you just kind of I heard so-and-so say it this way. I heard so-and-so say it this way. Hey, Mr. Smith said it this way. And we know about Mr. Smith. I'm going to use the same lingo. Jesus said, hey, you don't have to do that. Because that's what the Gentiles do. And by the way, when Jesus talks about the Gentiles are the people who didn't know God. The Gentiles were people who didn't know God. They didn't have a relationship with God. So there wasn't that connection. There wasn't that intimacy. And so they were just left to fake it, to do the best they could with what they saw other people who did have a relationship with God. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do like the Gentiles do and use meaningless repetition. For they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then to close, he goes into this, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Can I tell you where I learned the Lord's Prayer from? I did not learn the Lord's Prayer from church. You know where I learned it from? I learned it on the football field. See, growing up, every practice we had, at the end of practice, we would all gather around and we'd all take a knee and we would all say the Lord's Prayer. Did anybody grow up saying the Lord's Prayer on the football field or playing sports? Okay, a few of you out there? Yeah. Before I ever learned that at church, I learned that on the football field. I even watched a movie this past week. I watched a few movies in my downtime. And it was one of these movies that just came out, and there was this big tragedy that took place, and everybody was around, and they all gathered, and religious and non-religious, they all gathered, and they all took a knee, and they all started praying. Guess what they prayed? Lord's Prayer. Can I tell you, I don't think that the Lord's Prayer was ever intended to be something that we recite together and we call it a prayer. Because that would kind of go against what he just said. Don't pray with just meaningless repetition. See, I can say the Lord's Prayer and not be praying. And I can pray without using the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Prayer is a model. You say, well, what's a model of? It's a model that Jesus said, hey, you can pray like this. And by the way, in another context of the Lord's Prayer, in the scriptures in Luke's gospel, it actually was spoken by Jesus because the disciples asked him, hey, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, okay, you want to know how to pray? Pray like this. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer. And me people look at that and say, well, okay, well, then if that's how Jesus said we're to pray, well, of course, then we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer. We're going to call it a day, and that's going to be our prayer. And you miss what Jesus was trying to communicate. So Jesus says here about the Lord's Prayer, he says, pray then in this way. Just the first words, our Father, who art in heaven. Do you know how revolutionary that was? That Jesus would actually say about God, Father, Daddy, Abba. That type of connection, that type of closeness, nobody talked to God that way. Nobody even thought they had permission to talk to God that way. And yet here's Jesus saying, this is the way you pray. You can talk to him as a dad. Father, Daddy, the one who's in heaven. And then as you go on through the Lord's Prayer, basically, you're there and I'm here. You're big and I'm not. How I felt with George W. Bush, hey, there's some of that that you ought to realize, hey, you're there, I'm here. You're big, I'm not. But in the midst of even that separation, you still get the connection of, but you're still my dad, Father. As you go through the Lord's Prayer, and you can read it on your own, but as you go through the Lord's Prayer, basically, the gist of it is, when you really see God for who he is, then you see yourself for who you are. Whatever you came to talk to God about in the first place, it's not like he's not interested, it's not like you should never get around to it. But your attitude and your heart changes through it because at the end of it, because he's big and you're not, because he's that and you're this, you're more open to what he's going to do in your life than what you came to ask him to do in your life. And prayer becomes less about gimme, 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 and prayer becomes a lot more about I'm going to trust, I'm going to believe, I'm going to cling, I'm going to hold on, I'm going to embrace, and I'm going to do so in the meanwhile. Does prayer work? Absolutely. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. And yet people like Martin Luther would say, I'm so busy today, there's no way I'll be able to get it all done without 3 hours with the Lord in prayer. And we scoff at that. We say, 3 hours with God in prayer? Who can give 3 hours with God in prayer? When you struggle to give him 5 minutes. I get it. I didn't say this in the first service, but I feel led to say it here. Can I tell you that what makes you proud as a mom or dad about your kids might be the very opposite of what it does to God? See, for Noah and Emma, as they get older, as they grow up, I want them to become more and more self-sufficient. I want them to be able to take care of their own lives more and more and more. And I am proud when they're able to take care of more and more of their own lives, because I want to prepare them for adulthood. They're only going to be around for a little bit longer, you know, and I want them, when they get into the real world on their own, I want them to be able to handle themselves. And so I applaud self-sufficiency. Your Father in heaven does not. He is not proud of you because you're self-sufficient. You know what would make your Father in heaven proud? Is your dependence on Him. So I know this goes against our just way of thinking as parents. What we applaud our kids for, listen, your Father doesn't look upon that the same way from heaven. What He applauds, what He's proud of, is your dependence upon Him for everything. I don't want Noah and Emma to be dependent upon me for everything. As a matter of fact, I'm told this by those who've, in a new season of their lives, after your kids do get out of the house and they do get so self-sufficient, it makes you feel good every now and then when they do ask your help again. So you kind of get what I'm getting at. Your Father in heaven wants you to realize that He's your source, He's your strength. And He never wants you to get confused that you're big enough and you're tough enough and you're strong enough and you got it all together, that you only call upon Him in the big things. He wants you to live in dependence upon Him day by day, and that does nothing to Him but make Him pleased. And the way that's shown that you're living in dependence upon Him is that you pray. It's that you pray. That you lean in, that you look up. And you acknowledge, I need You. Mr. Smith, 5 foot tall, 100 pounds. I've never met more of a man's man than Mr. Smith. I've never met anybody stronger than Mr. Smith. And he lived a life of dependence. I'll talk about him for the rest of my life. And if I'm lucky, you'll get to hear about him for the rest of yours. Let's pray. So for those of you who are new, here it goes. I'm going to talk to God for a little bit, then I'm going to talk to you. You're going to figure it out. This is me talking to God. So Jesus, everything I just said, You know how I fall woefully short. And I get confused, and I'm like Emma and Noah, because I am trying to be sufficient. I'm trying to take care of myself. As they're relying upon me, I'm trying to be strong. And sometimes I forget. So often I forget where my strength comes from. So God, help me, and help anybody else who can identify. Help us to change the posture of our lives. Help us to move from a self-sufficient life to a dependent life. And what we do with a prayer life shows where we are in that. Okay, so I'm going to stop talking to God now. Now I'm going to talk to you, but you keep your heads bowed. Can you relate? Today, would you care to take a step forward in your journey? And for some of you, that might mean you're going to find somebody and you're going to start asking them, would you please be my prayer partner? And it might be a peer who might be struggling with you, and you can like struggle together and move ahead. It might be trying to find a Mr. Smith in your world, in a circle that you know, or maybe a circle that you're trying to figure out what circle is somebody like that in. And you just want to learn from somebody, and you want to have your own Mr. Smith. Maybe that's your next step you're supposed to take. For some of you today, your next step is you need to find your special place. Whether it be a closet, whether it be a room, whether it be a place, whether it be a pasture, whatever. You need to find maybe your special place. That this is going to be your holy, location. Just between you and God. Some of you, your next step is just going to be, you're going to need to start trying again. You've kind of given it up. You need to start trying again. And talk to God and realize He's actually listening. He's actually wanting this time, and He wants it more than you want it. He wants it more than you want to be there. He always will. For some of you, your next step is that, you know what, you need to go beyond just the mealtime prayer. You need to go beyond just the prayer on the way to work, on the prayer on the way home. Some of you, you need to go beyond that, and you need to start setting aside some Mr. Smith time, like where you're spending like, you know, 15 minutes or 30 minutes. And again, not to become legalistic, like it's a checkbox, like I got to pray so many minutes a day to keep the devil away, because that's not what we're talking about. But I promise you, you don't get to places like C.O. Smith because you just ate a lot of meals and you had a few sentences before it where you said amen at the end. You don't get there. And I promise you, that may not inspire you so much now, but I promise you at the end of your life when you look upon it, and especially when you get to heaven, we all want to be more like Mr. Smith. So what's your next step? What's the next step you need to do? And whatever that is, will you do it? I pray that you will. If you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I invite you right now. You can ask Jesus to come in your heart, forgive you of your sins. If you're uncertain of what that even means or what that even look like, my name is Matt. I'll be here. Jordan will be here. Steve will be here. Andrew, Randy. Got some other guys and gals that will be up here staying around front. We'd love to have a conversation with you so that you might know that you have a relationship with God. It'd be a tragedy to come to the First Baptist Church on any Sunday, hear great music, hear a sermon, and still not know when you're ready to know. So don't do that. We'd love to have a conversation with you. So now I'm going to stop talking to you, and I'm going to start talking to God again, and we're going to close this out. So Father, thank you so very much for this morning. Thank you personally for me, allowing me to be back with my friends and my family. And I pray that today, by what we experienced, that this week we'd spend more time with you, that our relationship with you would grow, and we'd get a healthy perspective that you're big and we are small, and self-sufficiency is not the goal, it's dependence. And that is what you're pleased with. May we pursue that. We ask this all and we pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so very much. You are dismissed.